Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Could we have another Indy 500 winner capture a Daytona 500? It's happened a couple times before. It could happen again. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters. With me this week, Chris Knight from CatchFence.com and Tom Jensen from the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
It's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network, presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
And welcome to the show. Happy New Year. Glad to have you guys with us. Hope you both had a great holiday and ready to get back to work.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, let's do it. And okay, we'll start off with a quiz, and I know you both know the answer to this. All right, who are the other people who have, who are the two guys who've won the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500?
Mario Andretti and A.J. Foyt.
Absolutely.
It's before my time.
Not before mine, though.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so Elio Castroneves, Tom, he's going to try to become the third one. You got a shot?
Boy, that's going to be an uphill battle. There are so many good plate racers now. Of course, they don't even really use restrictor plates now, but I think he's going to have to beat out some very, very talented people. You know, just looking at Hendrick, Penske, and Gibbs, there's 11 guys right there who can win, including several who have. And so I think it's going to be a tough fight for Castroneves, certainly. You know, he's got to beat Mike Wallace, too. He's going to be entered in and trying to race. And Martin Truex Jr. is apparently going to compete in the 500 too, so it's going to be an interesting race for sure. It always is.
I guess the biggest challenge, though, Chris, is just making the show, because we're here right now already. I think seven cars are going to have to make it on time,
right?
And there's only four spots.
Yeah, so it's going to be nerve wracking, right? And what Helio Castroneves and that Trackhouse Racing team are going to have to rely on is that they're going to have some horsepower under their hood for the Daytona 500 qualifying, which gets underway the Wednesday before the Daytona 500. If they can be one of the two fastest cars in single car qualifying, they can lock themselves in the race and doesn't have to worry about what they do during the qualifying races on Thursday. This is a great opportunity for NASCAR, I believe. Not only is Helio Castroneves a great person who brings a lot of energy and enthusiasm with him, but he also brings a great big fan base with him and a great crossover with IndyCar, which I think is never bad when you have a crossover between IndyCar and NASCAR. And I really applaud Justin Marks for keeping, he's got so much going on between all his racing, you know, endeavors in Cup and overseas with the motocross, the motorbikes and everything else. But for him to continue this Project 91 initiative and to tap someone like Helio Castroneves, and kudos, you know, I really think you have to go back to the SRX days and you know, those guys keeping their promise to put Helio in a Cup car. And I'm excited to see what he can do. It's going to be a huge storyline, that's for sure, during the whole week of Speed Week.
And the crossover, Tom, is not only with the IndyCar fans, it's with the Dancing with the Stars fans.
I hadn't considered that aspect for sure. But, you know, we talked about AJ and Mario winning it, but stock car racing for open wheel guys historically has been tough. Sam Hornish Jr. struggled. He had some success here. Juan Pablo Montoya, one of the greatest drivers in the world, won a few Cup races, but didn't really become the breakout star that many of us were expecting. Danica never even got a single top five.
Dario Franchitti, a lot. Had high hopes for Dario, you know, and myself included. And, you know, I, Tom, I agree with you. It's going to be immensely challenging for him, but it's not impossible, right? If the cards go your, who'd have thought Trevor Bayne would have won the Daytona 500 for the Wood Brothers, right? If you're in the right place at the right time and everything comes together, you know, he could pull off the what Shane Van Gisbergen did at Chicagoland Street Course a couple years ago. It's going to be hard, but it's not impossible.
But here's the thing. When you talk about Bayne, I remember during that week, Jeff Gordon and his media availability saying, wow, this kid Trevor Bain is really good in the draft, and I can work with him, and he's really impressed a lot of people. And you don't have the amount of practice anymore that you do. And if you remember the year Danica qualified on the pole, 2013-14, she was third going into the last lap, and everybody sort of just blew right on by her, and she wound up seventh or eighth, which was still a great effort. Yeah. But there are so many good super speedway racers that he doesn't have that experience in that type of car. Is it impossible? Like you said, no, not impossible at all, but very much an uphill battle.
I think it's great what Justin Marks said this week, though. His team is bringing four drivers from four different countries to compete in this year's Daytona 500. That is amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's got Chastain from the U.S., Suarez from Mexico, and Van Gisbergen from New Zealand.
Right.
And then you throw in, you know,
Helio
from Brazil. And so, yeah, he's got the United Nations of stock car teams.
Right. Yes.
Might as well get Takuma Sato and bring him to Japan and make it five.
Is he allowed to bring five cars in?
Yeah.
If anybody can do it, Justin Marks can do it,
that's
right?
That's right.
I mean, that's the thing, though. And if you're going to get a guy out of IndyCar, I still maintain, and you guys can disagree with me, I still think, even though he's not a factor like he once was in IndyCar, he's still a four-time Indy 500 champ. I still think Helio Castroneves is the biggest name, the most recognizable name in IndyCar racing, Tom.
That's interesting. I'm not sure I agree or disagree with that. He's certainly very recognizable, and he's certainly going to bring a lot of attention onto the Daytona 500, but the Daytona 500 is a huge event anyway. So I don't know how much any driver, no matter how good, even a four-time Indy winner can elevate it, but he definitely will elevate it some.
Great. 100%. Like, I could go either way, whether or not his status, you know, as he's the most recognizable name today in IndyCar, he's certainly in the top five, I would say, for sure. But I agree, you know, the Daytona 500 itself, with all the storylines going into that race weekend, is going to be huge. And certainly he's going to carry his own storyline. But I'm curious to see how quickly he can adapt. And I think if there's any year for Helio Castroneves to attempt the Daytona 500, it's a year where they're bringing back practice for the Daytona 500. It's not much practice, but there will be a couple sessions throughout the weekend. But the one before qualifying, I think, is going to be huge for him in order to get custom and make sure that he's comfortable, not only comfortable in the car, but he fits well and he knows what his gauges are and everything else. And I'll be curious to see how he performs in the draft, because I think he's going to have to get accustomed to that draft right away.
And he's going to have to work with his teammates in practice.
And they're going to have to be comfortable with him.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to have to show him the ropes and get settled in pretty quickly.
Well, the one thing, and Tom, you cited a bunch of guys and gals who have come over from IndyCar and have not had a lot of success in NASCAR. IndyCar is, what, 70% road courses now? And yet, Helio's had most of his success on ovals in IndyCar. So does that give him a better opportunity for success in the 500?
I would say it would give him a better chance for success at New Hampshire or a track like that, you know, a one-mile flat track. A 2.5-mile bank track is a little bit different than what he's used to running on. But, you know, we like so many things, it's a tantalizing storyline, and we're going to have to see how it unfolds. You know, how many times have we seen a great race car driver go into Indy with a fast car and he gets taken out 20 laps from the end in a 12-car pileup? There are things he can't control. In fact, there's a lot he can't control, and that's going to be his biggest challenge.
I mean, there's things that we've seen in the Indianapolis 500, Tom, where they don't even make it through turn two on the first lap and you're out of the Indianapolis 500. And we've seen it happen in the Daytona 500 where you have an early race accident, lap one or two, and your Daytona 500 dreams are gone before they even really get started.
Yep.
So Step one, he's got to make the race.
That's I think he can do that.
I think he's going to be a contender. I think his personality certainly will dominate the first part of the week at Daytona because he is a personality. There's no doubt about that.
And he's got Wendy's.
Yes, he does. I understand he's already been out there. He's gone through the menu.
Yeah.
He's already checked out Wendy's. He's already checking out the Frosties. So we'll see.
And I think the track time, you know, he's not going to just get into a car at Daytona for the first time. You know, it was announced this week that he'll get some seat time at Talladega Super Speedway before he gets to Daytona to get acquainted with the car, which I think that's going to be important for him. And hopefully, you know, you'll have Ross Chastain or Daniel Suarez to go to that Talladega test with him and help him understand maybe what he's feeling or what he's hearing or seeing, because let's face it, there's so much that he's going to have to inhale so much during that whole week. It's just going to be interesting to talk to him, and it's going to be exciting to talk to him and see how he reacts and the differences he feels between IndyCar and a stock car. And I expect him to go outside his track house circle, and I wouldn't be surprised if he talks to Kyle Larson. You know, Kyle Larson, you know, is going to be back running the Indianapolis 500 this year, so I would be curious to see if maybe him and Kyle Larson connect a little bit during the Daytona Speed Week too.
Well, our O'Reilly Auto Part Pit Reporter question this week is very simple. It's, will Elio Castroneves be a serious contender at Daytona? Yes or no? Last time we asked you, what was the biggest story of 2024? And 33% said the 2311 at Front Row suing NASCAR. Got 27% said all the close finishes. 24% said Kyle Busch not winning a race for the first time in 20 years. And 16% said Joey Logano wins his third championship. When we come back, a couple of seats have been filled. We'll talk about those. Stay with us.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Denny Hamlin slides up. He gets into the fence a little bit off of turn three. We will see if he is able to sustain that.
So suddenly things change dramatically. It was the two youngsters for JGR. Now the veterans that are occupying the top two spots in turn three.
Hamlin out front for the 11th time today.
Denny Hamlin gives up the lead.
Side by side going into one. Truex down low. Hamlin up high.
Three wide in front of him. On the bottom is Chastain. Up top is Austin Dillon with Gilliland in the middle.
It's Bristol, baby.
Brett McMillan returns with his guests in just a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Start your engine!
Reddick goes right to the bottom of the racetrack. Chastain tries to hold on the outside.
Truex on the inside, Byron in the middle. Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding. And Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the edge and a spin off of turn four.
Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
Check out all of our show pages on GoPRN.com to find archived shows and more. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And welcome back, along with Tom Jensen from the NASCAR Hall of Fame and Chris Knight from CatchVince.com. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Got a couple of guys have filled seats. Neither of them a real surprise. Let's start off with Noah Gregson. We knew that he was most likely headed for front row. And he gets the ride, and the surprise, I guess, is, Chris, that they changed the car number to car number four, and he's got Drew Blickensderfer as his crew chief. So he's now set to go, locked in, and a good opportunity for him. I mean, Front Row was a team last year that I think showed some promise. Didn't get probably the results they expected, but they showed a lot more speed than they had in the past.
Well, I think that's a credit to the Team Penske alliance that they had, right? I think once they got connected with Team Penske, it seems like every time we went to a mile and a half track or a super speedway track, those guys, especially Michael McDowell, was contending for the pole, right? So I like the direction of Front Row Motorsports going. We knew that Noah Gregson, that had already been announced in late 2024 that he was going there. I think the big surprise for everybody was the addition of Drew Blickensderfer as crew chief. And I think carrying that number four means a great deal to Noah. And I know that he's excited about it. And I think the pairing of those two as a driver and crew chief will offer an opportunity. Look, I expect them. Can Noah win a race? I think he can win a race. It's not going to be easy. But I think if him and Drew click right off the bat, then I think the sky's the limit for that duo.
Tom?
Yeah, I think that team's clearly on a rise. Adding a third car more often than not helps because it's more data to share and more feedback from you know, having three drivers versus two. And the Fords last year were fast in qualifying, most everywhere, it seemed. I think that team, you know, definitely has a shot at the 500. Michael McDowell's a past 500 winner. You know, they'd have to beat their own Penske guys. And Penske's got a couple of past 500 winners on their team, and certainly Ryan Blaney could win the 500 too. So I think it's going to be a pretty wide open race.
And it's such a young group at Front Row Motorsports this year compared to last year. You know, Michael McDowell was kind of like the ageless veteran, if you will, you know, and now you have Todd Gillen, who I think is going to have a breakout season, really. I really feel like this is the year that Todd Gillen gets that first win. He might be your sleeper at Daytona. And then you bring in, obviously, Noah Gregson, who, you know, everybody seems to love his personality, and he did a great job, I felt like, for Stuart Haas. Despite their shadows of inconsistency, they did put up some good numbers and get some good finishes along the way. And then you bring Zane Smith back into the fold, and I'm really anxious to see how these three musketeers, if you will work together and put up results and take Bob Jenkins back to victory lane.
Well, and Zane Smith is the other one, the other shoe that dropped at Front Row. Not quite sure where he was going to go after he had signed on with Trackhouse, but when Trackhouse locked down Shane Van Gisbergen for the cup ride, he was leased out to Spire last year, and he was, you know, not enough room at the inn at that point. And so Zane Smith was the odd man out, looking for a ride, found a home back at Front Row, who he'd driven for before.
And Michael McDowell's at Spire now.
Yeah.
And
kind of crazy how that works out, right, Tom?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. There are some odd synergies when jobs move around. I was looking this afternoon. There are an awful lot of new cup drivers with teams. You know, we've got Chase Briscoe going to Joe Gibbs. We've got Cole Custer with the Haas factory team. That remains to be seen how well they run and how quickly they run well.
Ryan Preece.
I think that's
third time at RFK.
I think that's a sleeper, if you will. You know, I think a lot of people are egging on. I think this is a make or break year for Ryan Preece, in my opinion. I really feel like that he's a great guy. He's well liked by his partners, his sponsors. He's easy to talk to in the garage, very respectable. I think he has the talent to get the job done, but I think that this is a year where he has to go out and perform.
Yep.
Many people were expecting him to perform at Stuart Haas, and he's shown flashes of light, but just never could really deliver what everybody was expecting. I think with his knowledge and the support of RFK, including from Brad Keselowski, I think Ryan Preece could have a big year as well.
I'll tell you someone else who I think could have a big year, Josh Berry with the Wood Brothers. I think he's proven that he can run well.
Yep.
And I think that team, I think they got lifted up a lot last year when Harrison Burton won at Daytona, and they have 100 wins now. I think good things are ahead for them this year.
Well, that's the thing. And the thing is, you know, when you talk about Barry and Gregson, you know, and Briscoe, you don't know at Preece, you don't know how much they were held back or their results were skewed by the fact of what they were dealing with at Stuart Haas last year. You know, I mean, you know, Briscoe ultimately wins late, makes the playoffs, which kind of kept the energy going, I think, Chris, at Stuart Haas into the playoffs. But kind of having that black cloud hanging over that organization most of the year had to have affected their results.
I think it did for most of the season. And then, you know, obviously they had some opportunities where they came out and were able to overcome the adversity of not knowing what the future held. And obviously Chase Briscoe was able to do that. But soon that flame burned out, right? And so then reality set back in. The chapter has been closed at Stuart Haas Racing, right? We turn the page and we're in a new year and a new endeavors for a lot of people and a lot of people. So I think there's a lot of excitement and anticipation to get the season underway because people, and I think the clash of Bowman Gray is really going to give people just a little speck of what's to come in 2025.
Tom?
I think the clash at Bowman Gray is going to be very exciting. They call that place the Madhouse for a reason. And it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I think it's a pretty bold experiment, but I think it's a successful one that race fans will applaud because it takes NASCAR back to its roots and reminds people what it was like in the old days.
Let me ask you real quickly, Chris. You know, we talked about the two rides getting filled for Front Row Motorsports with, you know, we talk about kind of the black cloud that hung over Stuart Haas last year. You got 2311 and Front Row still involved in the lawsuit with NASCAR. Is that cloud is a similar type cloud going to be over these organizations in the meantime, or is this thing for now that they're able to run charter teams? Are the crews going to be able to put this behind them and say, you know what, management's dealing with this, we're just going to race?
I think it's always going to be in the back of their mind. I honestly really right because you so much back and forth between NASCAR and the teams, so it's going to be interesting to see. I think that the team members on those teams are professional enough and know and probably have received guarantees from their prospective management that they're going to be fine no matter what happens, right? And as long as they have that notion that they believe and believe what they're being told, then I think that they're going to be able to put the distraction of the lawsuit behind them and focus on the job at hand. But it may be too soon to talk up, you know, too soon to really tell how that affects them until the season gets going. And we see what kind of noise the lawsuits continues because, you know, unfortunately, in my opinion, it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yep. Hey, Tom, one guy who might be left out of the mix when all the seats are filled is Corey LaJoie. You know, he kind of got traded, so to speak, to Rick Ware Racing. The rumor mill right now is that Corey Ware is going to end up in that car, which could leave Corey LaJoie on the sidelines.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. It seems like every year there's more talented drivers than there are available seats. And every year somebody gets shuffled out, or sometimes you see people take a step back. You know, Harrison Burton's going full-time in the Xfinity Series now, and there's some other guys who have made moves like that. Cole Custer did it a couple years ago. So just because he might not be there at the start of the year doesn't necessarily mean you count him out. Something could happen mid-year. Something could happen for next year where a better opportunity opens up for him. So it's a tough way to start your year, but it's not a crippling way to start your year.
Chris, what are you hearing?
Not much, unfortunately, right? So I do, you know, the thing that Corey LaJoie is, he's got sponsorship with him. And from everything that I've been told is that the sponsors wanted to remain in the Cup Series. They, you know, he had opportunities. You know, I had heard at one point he was under consideration for the McAnally Hilgeman ride that was vacated by Christian Eckes that will now be filled by Daniel Hemric. So, you know, does Corey LaJoie get an opportunity? You know, we know that RCR is going to bring a Cup program back and a third Cup program back on a part-time basis. I think Tom's right. Anything that Corey LaJoie jumps into, he's definitely got to make the best opportunity. And you know, this might not be a full-time season for Corey LaJoie, but I agree with what Tom said. If he can jump in cars, and I'm not saying it's even in Cup. If he can jump in any three of the series, Cup, Trucks, or Xfinity, and he can get in good equipment and showcase his worth, That's all he needs to do is just keep his name out there, out of sight, out of mind. As long as Corey LaJoie is not out of sight, out of mind, I think Corey LaJoie, in the end, will be back racing full-time.
Agreed. When we come back, an off-season? Not for Kyle Larson. Stay with us.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about this, but imagine how great your life could be. And all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number, because here it comes.
800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
Want to hear one of our past shows? Visit goprn.com. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
Where's his place in all of this?
So I look at Jimmy Johnson, and maybe I have a little bit different perspective because I grew up with Richard Petty while he was winning all of his championships and stuff. And it was tough. It's tough to win championships. I mean, so many great drivers, as we go back in time, won lots of races and never won championships. So many great drivers won lots of races, never won Daytona. Those big moments, they just couldn't get over that hump. So to win seven, no matter how you win seven, is amazing. I believe, and I have said this a million times on a million different occasions, Jimmy Johnson's five in a row is the most underrated record in all of sports. It gets very little attention, very little attention. We talk about Tiger Woods winning all these majors. We talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. You talk about everything that Richard Petty has done, everything Dale Earnhardt Sr. has done. Five in a row, nobody's done five in a row.
Check us out on YouTube at GoPRN Live. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Chris Knight from CatchPins.com, Tom Jensen from the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Kyle Larson apparently doesn't know the meaning of offseason.
Neither does Christopher Bell.
Neither does Christopher Bell, except Kyle Larson decided that part of his offseason needed to take place in Australia. So he goes to Perth, which is on the far western part of Australia. It's as far west as you can get in Australia. He goes down there, and what does he do? He takes their meal money. He goes.
All he do is win, win,
all
win,
he
win.
Does is win, win, win. Yeah. He takes the $100,000 Australian dollar. I don't know what the conversion rate is. I think it was about $68,000. He goes and takes the first place money, and then flies home, and then he goes to Tulsa to race. Of course, it worked out for him because he left on New Year's Eve. And got home on New Year's Eve because he crossed the international dateline in time for his kid's birthday and in time to race in Tulsa. But he got beat by Christopher Bell in Tulsa.
Yeah. He's amazing, isn't he? Like, I just, just doesn't slow down.
Nice to be young.
Yeah.
Right, Tom?
It'll catch up.
Yes. Remember, you used to do stuff like that, Tom?
It's amazing. The true racers, the Christopher Bells, the Kyle Larsons, the Tony Stewarts, they want to be going all the time. And, they've got two modes. They're either racing or they're asleep. And there's not much in between. And he just has that relentless joy of competing. And he's so good in whatever he hops in. I'm really hoping this year when he does the double that the weather is a little bit more, a lot more cooperative, so we can see what he can really do.
I applaud him for as quick as
you used to travel like that, didn't you, Chris?
Yeah, I did.
Australia, back to the U.S.
Oh, no big deal.
Pick up another race next
Alabama, back to the U.S.
No big deal. But
wait, Alabama back to the U.S. Is that what you said? Yeah. That was Tom Jensen. That's T. Jensen at the NASCAR.
Um, I think these guys, they race like they race, right? Because if they don't race, they feel like that they're going crazy, right? Literally going crazy, yeah. Or they just, you know, they feel like that they're just sitting by the wayside. You know, that's just how they feel. If they're not go, then what am I doing with myself, right? Or what am I doing with my life? And I think this is great for Kyle. Let him do what he's doing, and he's going, and he's created this High Limits Racing Series, which is great, and it's got a lot to look forward to. But there will be, Tom, a time where I feel like it will come where his priorities will shift. So enjoy it while he's doing it, and enjoy the success that he's having and the entourage that he's bringing with him and the spectacle that he's creating headlines, because there will be a time, Tom, where I feel, and it may be coming sooner than later, where his kids will get older, his priorities will change, and we won't be seeing Kyle doing as much as he's doing now.
Yeah, that's inevitable. That happens with everybody. The older your kids get, and I can speak from experience here. You know, when my kids were babies, I was doing pretty close to the full schedule, and now I do very little traveling. You're the things that you want to do change, and as your body gets older, the wear and tear of travel gets harder on you. So I suspect at some point he'll slow down, but it's not going to be for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still wide, flat out open.
And he may be in Perth, but he's still thinking about the Indy 500 coming up in May, and he's still thinking about Daytona 500. And Tom, I read something this week that this is the longest Hendrick Motorsports combo of drivers this year that we've seen since the mid 2000 Dale Jr., Hendrick Motorsports, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Jr.,
Jeff Gordon
era, where this is the longest stint of the same drivers, the same four drivers at Hendrick Motorsports. And I found that, I was like, wow, that's crazy that this is the longest stint of the same four drivers at Hendrick Motorsports since Dale Jr. was back driving in the mid-2000s, or, you know, the mid-2010s.
Well, you know, we talked about Christopher Bell, and the first thing he did, I think we got out of the car after winning at Tulsa and holding off Larson, was to thank Joe Gibbs.
Yeah.
Because Gibbs has finally lifted the restriction, Tom, on his guys running extracurricular activities.
It's always a double-edged sword. But, you know, because one of your guys can get hurt in an open wheel car, and, you know, I personally think the NASCAR cars are probably a good bit safer than the open wheel cars, although safety is a priority for every series now, certainly. But as Chase Elliott proved a couple years ago, you can break a leg snowboarding or snow skiing or whatever. You can walk down the street and get hit by a car. So there's no, you know, you can't bubble wrap these drivers and stuff them in a closet and just bring them out on Sundays. There's, you know, there's risk in everything you do. But I think it fuels the passion of the drivers. And I think the teams get off seeing their guys do well.
Yeah, and Joe Gibbs Racing in particular, I applaud Coy and J.D. Gibbs for helping start that process, right? And I really felt like that they were before both of them passed away, that they were really enticing their father to change his ways. And because overall, I think it helped the company, right? I think it kept the drivers more engaged and kept them, you know, focused behind the seat. And I like to see them. I like that, you know, that as we're getting, you know, closer and closer to the 2025 season, that JGR is just, you know, being more relaxed. And I think it's across the board. I think Rick Hendrick's become more relaxed as time has gone on too. So it's nice to see a lot of the elders, you know, statesmen, if you will, of the sport, to see them relax their policies and allow their drivers to be the drivers that they are, and of several different disciplines.
Well, and to your point, Tom, Austin Cindric's going to get a run the 24 hours of Daytona because Ben Barker, who was supposed to drive for the Ford Multimatic Motorsports team, which is the Ford factory team, he broke his collarbone skiing over the holidays.
There you go.
So they called Austin Cindric and said, hey, would you mind helping out? And he used to run with this team in the past,
yep,
at the lower levels. And they called him up and said, would you be interested? And he goes, let me think about it. Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be on a personal holiday. It could be, yeah, working out. We saw David Malukas, you know, in the IndyCar series. He was training and had an injury and fell and had to, you know, and look at all the drama that he went through throughout his whole season before he finally landed at Arrow McLaren. So, you know, it's so interesting you know, it's not just about whether you can get hurt in another racing division or racing discipline, or whether you go on a vacation. You could get hurt rolling out of bed in the wrong way and break a leg. You know, it just life happens, right? And so I applaud these team owners and these sponsors for allowing themselves to adapt, to realize that, like, hey, we only get one life, and there's no promises of tomorrow.
Or you could break an ankle carrying your dog down the stairs.
That's right.
I wasn't going to say anything. My daughter made me get a pedicure. That's what happened. My foot was too slick. She still maintains that's not the case. All right. We'll move along. When we come back, I want to check with Tom and see what's going on at the Hall of Fame. We got the inductions coming up pretty soon, so we'll see what's going on there and what kind of exhibits we got. So stay with us. Hi, this is PRN's Brett McMillan. You know, you don't spend your life just sitting around, so what you need is PRN's mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. If you download it today, you get station listening and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app. Download today. Available at the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Headed to Las Vegas Motor Speedway in March to enjoy great NASCAR racing? Then make your reservations now to stay at the South Point Hotel and Casino. The South Point has great race weekend ticket and room packages. Plus, they have a great variety of dining experiences and a world-class spa. Stay where the racers stay. The South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Visit southpointcasino.com and book your springtime getaway today.
We've got more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
If you have a chance to make a difference in a kid's life, you need to take full advantage of that opportunity.
For those kids to know somebody has their back, somebody is caring about them, thinking about them when they feel like nobody is.
Anything that I can do now to support Speedway Children's Charities, I do, because I've seen the work firsthand.
We owe it to children, no matter where they come from.
Unfortunately, there is no end to some of the terrible atrocities in our world. Speedway Children's Charities can feel really good that we are getting the most good out of every dollar that's given.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Because their future is our future.
And there's still so much they can teach us.
Find out more at speedwaycharities.org. Follow at PRN Live on Twitter for show news and information. Now more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And welcome back, along with Tom Jensen and Chris Dyke. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. And Tom's going to be busy here in the next couple of weeks, if he hasn't been busy already.
He's always busy.
Did he actually give you time off for the holidays before the induction ceremony?
A little bit, but we're pretty busy.
How
right
was Christmas
now
at the hall? It's always great. They do a great job decorating for the holidays.
Yep. And so coming up February 7th is induction of our class of 2025, which will be Carl Edwards, Ricky Rudd, Ralph Moody, and then Dr. Dean Sicking is the Landmark Award winner for outstanding contributions to NASCAR, and Mike Harris, longtime Associated Press Motorsports reporter, is the Squire Hall Award winner. So we're very excited. Now, I have to tell you guys a story. So the process leading into induction takes a couple months. We do video interviews, maybe 30, 35 people, all the inductees, their crew chiefs, their owners, guys they raced against. And so we were talking to Carl Edwards. And Carl Edwards, by the way, looks like he could still, you know, he's the most physically fit guy I know. He won an international jiu-jitsu competition a couple of years ago. He's obviously in great shape. And he decided one day, and he's got the time and he's got the resources to do it, decides, I'm going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, the highest mountain in Africa, 19,341 feet from sea level. So he starts up on the journey and he has a guide with him. And the guide's to take him halfway to meet the Sherpa, who will take him to the top of the mountain. And so they go up, and they go up 9,000 or 10,000 feet, and they reach the base camp, and the Sherpa walks out. And he's wearing a Ricky Rudd hat.
Really?
Yes, true story.
Oh,
the Sherpa on Mount Kilimanjaro had a Ricky Rudd hat.
Oh, what was Carl's first words, do you know?
I know he texted Ricky very shortly thereafter, but he started laughing.
That's great. Did he make it to the top?
Wow. That's... He did. This is radio, Tom.
This
you can't
is,
nod. yes, he did. Tom nodded.
I believe he did, yes.
That's crazy.
He's a talented guy.
The coincidence is that, of course, Carl and Ricky are going in together.
Correct. Yeah, that's the whole story.
Yeah.
So... if he would have had a Holman Moody shirt on, that would have really been something. But the Ricky Rudd hat is enough.
Carl, I mean, and just Carl Edwards is just an amazing human being.
Yeah.
Just to see, you know, he may not be out of NASCAR, but he's not out of touch with the sport, you know? To see him, you know, he came to Nashville this past year, and just to see him going around to every single person and saying hi and sitting with them and talking to them and seeing how their families are doing, that just, you know, just shows you he may be out of sight, but he's not out of touch with the people that are in the sport.
I think being voted in the Hall of Fame really reconnected him with the industry, and he realized what an important part of his life that it was.
And he was well liked.
Yeah, well liked, well respected. Heck of a competitor.
Yes.
And Ricky Rudd, I mean, ran 906 races. Including 788 in a row. And I don't have it all in front of me, but in his first race, Rudd went straight from a go-kart to a cup car.
Mm-hmm.
No late model, no Busch series, no nothing. Cup car or go-kart to cup car. In his first race, I think he raced against 11 or 12 Hall of Famers. David Pearson, Richard Petty, Dale Earnhardt, Richard Childress, a bunch of guys. And then his last one, he's racing against Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart and all those guys. I believe I added it up. I think he's raced against 35 Hall of Fame drivers over his career, something like that. It's an amazing number.
Yeah. Now, are you going to have like a backflip competition?
I have withdrawn from that. I am not going to compete. And I don't think Carl is either. He's not.
Can he do it in a suit?
Yeah.
He could. I absolutely think he could do it in his suit. So.
So what else you have going on besides that at the Hall? What
kind of exhibitions? We have a lot. So on March 18th, we will have an exhibit opening on the 75th anniversary of Darlington. We have some mind-bending artifacts from the earliest days of the track, including the original blueprints.
Really?
Yes.
Do they include the minnow pond?
The minnow pond is not in the blueprint. It's the layout of the track only, but it was outside of it. And then in May, right before the 600, we're going to have a 75th anniversary Wood Brothers exhibit. And I've already been up to Stewart, Virginia two or three times in the last 3 months, and we'll probably make three or four more trips. And we're going to really roll out the red carpet for them the same way we did when we opened the Hendrick 40 years exhibit in August, which will run up until May and then replaced by the Wood Brothers. So we got a lot going on. And February 7th is induction night. Tickets are available at NASCARHall.com. And on February 8th, the Saturday, the day after induction, fans can go in and see the Hall of Honor cases for Rudd Edwards and Ralph Moody for the first time. And there are some things in there for all three of them you won't believe.
That looks awesome.
I love the Hall of Fame. It's just, you know, I have friends that don't even watch NASCAR, and they came to Charlotte and went to the Hall of Fame just because they thought it was a cool spectacle. So I think the amazing job that your team does over there is just remarkable, and I'm excited to see the
Well, hit me up. I'll take you to lunch. I'll give you the deluxe tour anytime you want to come down.
I've been to the Hall of Fame on several, you know, I've been there for several announcements, team announcements and whatnot. And I think that's a great avenue for you guys that you guys do for the teams. You know, we had an announcement there last month with Greg Van Alls and Joey Gase with Scott Osteen Motorsports. And so I just think what you guys are able to do, what you guys not only get back to the fans, but get back to the teams and offer a platform to do that. And I just think, Tom, since you've been there a while now, you know,
a little over 7 years.
Yeah, you've done it. But I think your team, you and Wendy in particular, have done a great job. And so I encourage anybody, you know, whether it's on your way to Daytona to stop by Charlotte and go to the Hall of Fame, it's a great place.
Always, Jen.
I appreciate that, Chris. But it's not my team, it's our team.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, always. And the great thing is you guys are always changing exhibits. And the stuff you dig up is just absolutely amazing. And the stories that go with them.
And the fan interaction stuff, the exhibits that the fans can interact. There's more than just the exhibits. They're just the things that the fans can do in the Hall of Fame is great, too.
All right. When we come back, I'm going to find out what these guys think we'll be talking about in 2025. Stay with us.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now.
800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. That's 800-475-8167.
More of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on goprn.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Denny Hamlin slides up. He gets into the fence a little bit off of turn three. We will see if he is able to sustain that.
So suddenly things change dramatically. The two youngsters for JGR, now the veterans that are occupying the top two spots in turn three.
Hamlin out front for the 11th time today.
Denny Hamlin gives up the lead.
Side by side going into one. Truex down low, Hamlin up high.
Three wide in front of him. On the bottom is Chastain. Up top is Austin Dillon with Gilliland in the middle.
It's Bristol, baby.
Download our free mobile app to listen to the show and more great PRN content on the go. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
And welcome back, along with Chris Knight from CatchFence.com and Tom Jensen from the NASCAR Hall of Fame. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, as we get ready for 2025, less than a month away from the start of the season, Chris, what are the stories you think we can talk about this year?
I think the biggest storyline that I'm going to be focusing on is who excels in new opportunities and who doesn't excel. And new opportunities. You know, the biggest thing that I was watching, and you know, you guys can feel free to jump in. Justin Haley and Corey LaJoie did that ride swap, you know, at Kansas Speedway, right? In the heart of the playoffs. I didn't see very much come out of that ride swap, right? I didn't see, yes, Justin Haley showed some speed, but so did Corey LaJoie in the Rick Ware racing car, you know? And now I know Rodney Childers is going to be over there leading the Justin Haley brigade in 2025. But that's the thing that's got me excited to see the comers and goers in these new rides and the seeing, you know, did they make the right move or was that grass greener on the other side before they made the move, you know? So that's the biggest, because there's, like Tom talked about earlier in the show, there's so much movement for 2025, and not just in Cup, but in Xfinity and trucks too. I'm just eager to see what happens.
Tom?
Can Penske win four Cup championships in a row? If I'm not mistaken, Rick Hendrick is the only team owner who's done that so far in 95, 96, 97, 98. The Penske guys have been incredible at the end of the season the last 3 years. And speaking of Penske and Hendrick, last year it didn't really get reported too much, but Penske swept the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 on the same day. Hendrick could do that this year with two different drivers. Larson's got a legitimate shot to win the 500, and he's got Rick's got four bullets in his gun that each of whom could win the 600. That would be an incredible story.
And Kyle could do it himself both races.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, there's no question. And if Kyle were able to do it in both races, that would be one of the biggest stories ever.
Yeah.
And I think as brutal as last year was on him, the fact that he got an IndyCar race under his belt at Indianapolis is going to help him immeasurably this year.
And I think, Tom, he learned, the mistake that he made was it would happen too late in the race for him to recover from it. But I think he learned he won't make that. I don't think Kyle Larson is not the type, in my opinion, to make that kind of mistake twice. Right. Yeah. And I think just the speed that he showcased and how quickly he was able to adapt in that IndyCar, given all the circumstances and all the weather challenges they had, not just on the day of the race, but the whole month of May, yep, where he got very little seat time compared to a normal month of May at Indy 500. I just think, that's going to be another story that we watch again this season, and I'm excited to watch that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we started last year. How many weeks did we go where we thought, is Ford ever going to win a race? And they end up winning the championship. But none of the car, if I'm not mistaken, none of the car manufacturers have made significant changes to their cars this year. So we shouldn't have those kind of questions at the start of this season, right?
You just never know. I mean, you know, I said this coming out of, as I was leaving here, Charlotte Motor Speedway, and the announcement had been made that Alex Bowman's car had DQ'd, and it took him out of the playoff standings. And Joey Logano, who had been earlier in the day knocked out of the playoffs, was now back in the playoffs. And I said, you guys just woke a sleeping bear. And I said, if Joey Logano goes to Las Vegas Motor Speedway and wins that race and gets himself into Phoenix Raceway, it's game over. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. And so I knew when all that happened, it was Team Penske's championship to lose, and they did everything right that day.
Well, and the thing is, it's hard to believe, looking back on it, Tom, the Gibbs went the last half of the season without winning a race. They didn't win a race after New Hampshire.
Yeah, that is hard to believe. And you got to believe they'll be coming back this year in a strong way. They've got a talented team. Although it's going to be interesting to see how Denny Hamlin runs with a new crew chief, and as Chris will know this, the details of this more than I do, but it was apparently done without his consent.
It was, and I think the ongoing issues at 2311 instigated may have been a reason why he wasn't informed of that. I think Tom's right. I think the 11 is definitely something to watch. I was surprised, Tom, that none of us had any inkling that FedEx was leaving at the end of the season and not coming back. I think we knew that they had been decreasing the amount of races they'd be doing, but then for them to completely come off the car at the end of the season was kind of mind-boggling and surprising to some. But I'm also curious, you guys, if RCR can come back. It was such a turbulent season for those guys, especially for Kyle Busch. And then we come off the Olympic break, and the tide had turned for Kyle Busch. And I thought that, well, maybe Kyle has an opportunity to keep his winning streak alive. Ultimately, he did not. But they brought some powerhouse people in during the offseason, and I'm curious and going to be watching to see if those changes will help propel RCR back into victory lane.
White flag laps ahead. Stay with us.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Denny Hamlin slides up. He gets into the fence a little bit off of turn three. We will see if he is able to sustain that.
The suddenly things change dramatically. The two youngsters for JGR, now the veterans that are occupying the top two spots in turn three.
Hamlin out front for the 11th time today.
Denny Hamlin gives up the lead.
Side by side going into one. Truex down low, Hamlin up high.
Three wide in front of him. On the bottom is Chastain. Up top is Austin Dillon with Gilliland in the middle.
It's Bristol, baby.
There's more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters still to come. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, this is Carson Osvar, and you're listening to Country Radio Hall of Famers Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country Classic.
It's Kathy and Tim McGraw.
I can see you getting more into the technical. I can see you producing.
It's a fun thing to learn. I enjoy doing it. When I get the opportunities to do it, I try to learn as much as I can.
Hey, it's Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country Classic.
Racing Country Classics.
Each year, vehicle trespasser and pedestrian accidents along railroads change the course of innocent lives, from train operators and passengers to families and first responders. Interacting safely with tracks and trains is the goal. It's important to be alert when approaching crossings. Never drive or walk around lowered gates. Do not walk on or beside the tracks. Trespassing is dangerous and illegal. Don't risk your life. Keep clear and stay safe. For more information, visit metrolinktrains.com/stay safe.
Get your short track racing fix with PRN's At The Track. Visit GoPRN.com. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
It's time now for our white flag laps. And first up from CatchFence.com, it's the boss, it's the owner, it's Chris Knight.
That's right. The holidays are over, and we're getting closer and closer to the 2025 season, and an announcement came out this week that got me really jazzed and excited about Catherine Legg, the IndyCar driver. She competed in last year's Indianapolis 500 and for Dale Coyne Racing, and she's coming back to try to make things work in the stock car side of things. She's actually even going to attempt the Chili Bowl next week, and I'm very grateful because I think Catherine Legg, despite her, she doesn't have a whole lot of experience, but I think Catherine Legg brings a fan base and brings an empowerment with her sponsorship and her tenacity and engagement, where she's going to run the ARCA Series race at Daytona, which is Saturday of the Xfinity Series race, live on Big Fox at 12 o'clock. And from what I understand, Catherine is using the ARCA platform to get herself some more stock car experience so she can be back in the Xfinity Series on a more regular basis while she pursues other disciplines, which include IndyCar. So if Catherine can transition and make the IndyCar, the ARCA deal a success, I would love to see her more in NASCAR races.
All right. Next up from the NASCAR Hall of Fame, Tom Jensen.
This is an exciting time of year. Every NASCAR team is tied with the same number of victories. Every shop thinks they made the right moves over the winter, thinks they hired the right guys, thinks they built the fastest cars, and there's a tremendous amount of optimism and enthusiasm and excitement this time of year. And it really won't be until about 5 or 6 weeks into the season, when they've been to a variety of tracks, that we'll know who will have made the right moves. But I can't wait to get to Daytona, see some old friends, talk to the racers, see what happens, and we can start getting answers to these questions. I think it's going to be a great 2025 season, and I hope to see you all at the track or at the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
A lot of them are excited. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week on the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network was presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.